Filtering water can be almost as large a challenge as simply finding a water source. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a leading company that creates one of, if not the, most trusted water filtration systems, either for hikers or for homes. That interview starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks again for listening to our themed show this week. It's International Water Week. After talking with an early stage startup, we want to turn to a mature company that is also for profit, but is delivering on the philanthropic front when it comes to helping provide clean water all over the world. The company is Icon Technologies, and the specific product is called Lifesaver. It's a portable water bottle with a pump and water purification nanotechnology. More on that in a minute. The philanthropic aspect to Icon Tech is what its founder sees as a problem that would take upwards of $20 billion to solve: decent water for everyone who does not have it. This is from Michael Pritchard, founder of Icon, giving a TED Talk about 8 years ago. I think it's important for context.
We're in the fine city of Oxford. So someone's done that up. Fine city of Oxford. So what I've done is I've gone and got some water from the River Cherwell and the River Thames that flow through here. And this is the water. But I got to thinking, you know, if we were in the middle of a flood zone in Bangladesh, the water wouldn't look like this. So I've gone and got some stuff to add into it. And this is from my pond. Have a smell of that, Mr. Cameraman. Okay. Right. We're just going to pour that in there. Okay. We've got some runoff from a sewage plant farm. So I'm just going to put that in there. Put that in there. There we go. And some other bits and pieces. Chuck that in there. And I've got a little gift here from a friend of mine's rabbit. So we're just going to put that in there as well. Okay. Now, the Lifesaver bottle works really simply. You just scoop the water up. Today I'm going to use a jug just to show you all. Let's get a bit of that poo in there. That's not dirty enough. Let's just stir that up a little bit. Okay. So I'm going to take this really filthy water and put it in here. Do you want a drink yet? Okay. There we go. Replace the top. Give it a few pumps, okay? That's all that's necessary. Now, as soon as I pop the teat, sterile drinking water is going to come out. I've got to be quick. Okay, ready? There we go. Mind the electrics. That is safe, sterile drinking water.
There's a link to that TED Talk and other water resources in the show notes for this week. Just check out kgoradio.com/techonomics. Here we go with the head of North American operations for Icon Tech and its water filtration slash purification technology called Lifesaver.
Joseph Silva, the Senior Vice President GM for Icon Technology Systems.
Clean drinking water. It looks like the problem's only going to get worse. All the projections keep showing that access to fresh water is an ongoing issue. Let's talk about what you see there. Have you seen any progress in, say, the past 10 years when it comes to providing clean water?
We've seen some progress, and we've actually contributed to trying to help out with the situation. So there's two clearly identified issues that we're dealing with. One is how we treat the water for purification for consumption, and then how we distribute that to consumers. So there are two separate line items. Ours is more on the portable water solution. However, we do have a commercial side with our Icon technology, the Eco 3 line, that provides carbon and reverse osmosis systems for municipality cleansing once it gets to the household or commercial location.
I can probably pull data if you don't have this in front of you, but since you're in the business, I wonder if you have any macro data that you could share us for people in need of clean drinking water, you know, right now, or access to it, or barriers to them getting the fresh water. Like, I understand that 4 hours a day of walking is sometimes necessary.
Right. So that's going to vary as well. So you have the municipalities do a very good job of getting that first filtration treatment to you. However, there are some chemicals that are in the water, obviously chlorine, and then chloramine is now emerging. That's becoming a bit of an issue once it's transported from the municipal water sources to the end consumer. So that is one area that we focus on. The other area would be the portable solutions, which what we're looking at for the graphene, which we'll talk about here in a moment, graphene would be a great solution for those portable areas or those locations that don't have potable drinking water. Think of third world countries or even some locations here in North America that have contaminated water sources that are being used as the first or primary water drinking supply for either off-grid or those third world countries mentioned.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, I think we've teed up the problem and its scale large, I think, to say. Let's talk about your technology and Lifesaver's approach to providing people opportunities for portable, potable drinking water.
So the technology that we use for Lifesaver products is nanofiltration. It's hollow fibers and essentially gets down to 15 nanometers. When you're dealing with third world or distant water sources that you're using, typically you're going to find viruses in those. We're very fortunate due to our municipalities here in the States that we don't have a lot of viruses to deal with, but get outside of the walls of North America or the States, viruses are a huge issue. So what our system does essentially is it traps those viruses as they go through. Anything larger than 15 nanometers is going to get trapped in our hollow fiber membranes. So if you think about a funnel, the outside of our hollow fiber membranes go from 3 microns all the way down to 15 nanometers. They're lined up horizontally, so as the water is pressurized through our systems, it flows from the sides up through the top of the straws and then out through an exit port that has a carbon block that helps with any aesthetics, any type of residual taste, odors, or anything that may be in the water. So it's actually a two-step process, but we utilize that to get down to the finite or the smallest molecular structure that we can today through the use of hollow fiber technology.
So for context, you said 15 nanometers in the filter. How large is a typical virus?
Viruses vary in range. The typical average virus that we're dealing with is around 20 nanometers.
Okay.
So ours being 15 nanometers is small enough to capture the majority of those high-profile viruses that may be in water sources.
I'm definitely not a bacteriologist, but are bacteria larger than 15 or 20 nanometers?
Yes, absolutely. And when you're dealing with bacteria, typically what people are more concerned about would be E. coli. Typically, that is going to be above 0.5 microns, so it's significantly larger than the viruses. There are some technologies that will reduce biological, such as bacteria and cysts, which are considerably larger. But the challenge is getting down to the viral level, which is the nanofiltration systems that get down below that virus level itself.
Right. And it's made out of that graphene filter. Can you describe for us a little bit what graphene is and why it's so scalable and good and economical for Lifesaver to consider using?
Absolutely. So let me frame this back up again. Our carbon and our reverse osmosis systems are typically those that are used for a non-portable source. There have been some adaptations to get those into a portable source, but the challenge is the volume of water that it will do for carbon will not get down to that viral level at this point. So for the Lifesaver side, getting down to the 15 nanometric size through the use of nanofiltration gives us a fantastic base. So now we add to our business line carbon, reverse osmosis, and nanofiltration. Where graphene comes in is it gives us the ability in the future to be able to get down to the lower levels of contaminants such as pesticides, which can get down to 0.001 microns, which is significantly lower than what we've been able to achieve as of today. That technology would only be available through reverse osmosis. Through the use of graphene, that gives us an extra step to use the hollow fiber membrane for the biologicals and then get down to the extraction of salts and pesticides, and we call them the ums and the uns, the cadmiums, the bariums, those contaminants that may be chemically in the water, gives us the ability to extract those out through the use of graphene.
I was going through your mission page on your website. We're speaking with Joseph Silva, by the way, Senior Vice President at Icon Lifesaver. And then I looked at some research, obviously, to prepare for this interview, and I saw a TED Talk from 2009 by a man named Michael Pritchard. And
yes,
he poses some really, boy, first of all, the visual representation of the water that he filters in that TED Talk.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God.
We've seen Bill Gates do something similar, drinking some filtered water out of something that was supposedly not clean to begin with. How is the mission coming in the last 9 years?
Fantastic. So we've introduced, as I had stated, we've been in business a little over 11 years. Michael Pritchard was the inventor of the product itself that you saw in TED Talks. The initial mission was to end world poverty for water. There are restricted areas across the globe that just don't have good potable drinking sources. What they're bathing in is what they're drinking. What they're cleaning their clothes in is what they're drinking. And there are tens of thousands of deaths that are caused by waterborne diseases. As our mission has expanded, we're continuing on that path, but we've also looked at additional smaller devices that can help out a little bit more portably or for those that are travelers. So two steps there. We're still working on our humanitarian relief efforts. Actually, during the hurricane season last year, we deployed several of our jerry can systems, our cubes, and portable devices, not only to relief workers, but to the villages, as recently as last week, still sending products to Puerto Rico.
Mm.
So our mission still continues. We've taken a separate approach or a two-pronged approach to still continue that humanitarian effort. We've recently launched a product by the name of Liberty. And what we're doing with that is, as we get into more of the retail segment or your hardcore recreational campers, that allows us to help expand out into humanitarian efforts, if you will, by the use of multiple legs to this stool, by which we can continue to extend out into third world countries and those that are stricken by emergency disasters.
I'd like to ask you about, you know, the specific challenges. As I mentioned, the TED Talk that I watched, Mr. Pritchard says that $20 billion would have solved the problem for all 660 million people that currently do not have access to clean drinking water. I'm hoping that number is either smaller by inflationary standards that we've been able to reach out to more of those people. But at the same time, what other challenges are you seeing in the field, both as a business? I understand you're a for-profit company. What are the challenges that you're facing while you continue that two-pronged approach that you mentioned?
I think the majority of it is just a lack of understanding of what nanofiltration is. So I will use Company X to describe a very large entity within the United States that has doctrine that says you must use chlorine to purify your water. Our mindset is if you drink something that doesn't have a chemical treatment process in it, it can't be good. So when you saw the TED Talks and you saw what he was putting in that tank, we replicate that across multiple channels here in the States and globally using a fish tank. And we'll put these contaminants in the water to give people that understanding of what our filtration systems do are better than chlorine because there's no chemical treatment that goes with it. But in our brains, we're thinking we've always been looked at to put chlorine in there to purify it, and that's what we know is our common standards. So I think the education of what nanofiltration is and what these devices can do as opposed to chemical treatment options, that's probably one of the bigger barriers. The second barrier would be the understanding of the financial impact. So to get a purified water source from a municipality to a specific location, there's the time, there's the labor, there's the treatment technology, there's the distribution, there's the checking, there's the testing. Moving to a portable solution is financially more stable, but it's understanding and getting that product to where it needs to go is the biggest challenge for most, either call it non-government organizations, NGOs, or government issues as well.
Yeah, I figure delivery and logistics must be a pretty heavy lift for everybody involved, especially after a natural disaster like a hurricane or an earthquake. What about your partnerships in business? Are you finding willing partners to take on both prongs again? I mean, not just the mission of it, but of course, you know, spreading the word and getting the technology out there and getting more products into people's hands.
Absolutely. So I will give a shout out for one organization that's helped us out dramatically, and that's called Operation Blessing. They still do quite a bit in Haiti, as well as they're a non-government operation or organization that specializes in providing relief work through donations and allowing our products to get into the hands of some of these users. If you go on YouTube, you'll find several instances of us dropping our products out of planes or helicopters or distribution in mass. Operation Blessing has helped us move our products forward and allow others to see what this system is and how it functions.
Mr. Silva, a great work, a wonderful product. And just to drill down into this, so basically what the water is that you are cleaning up, at least the test that I saw, is river water, pond water, and sewage plant runoff. Is that about accurate?
That's accurate. So our systems are tested against, it's called P231 today, and there's actually two parts to that, if you will. I'll get into this just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a six-day test that's on, it's called general test water, and that is for, you know, your average water you're going to find that's non-contaminated. If it passes that six-day test, then you go on to a five-day test. That five-day test is challenge test water type 3, which, as indicated by NSF ANSI 231, is simulated sewage. So you can effectively use this product in practically any water source with the exception of salt water, even down to a mud puddle. Some of our products have a scavenge sponge. You can dip it into a mud puddle and then wring that out into the bottle itself and utilize that to purify the water. So there's really very few water sources that we can't turn from simulated sewage into potable drinking water in seconds.
Mr. Silva, good luck with everything. Icon Lifesaver, a wonderful product, available a lot more places than I thought originally. But looking at research, I'm glad to see your distribution channels are really well primed. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
That was Joseph Silva, Senior VP at Icon Lifesaver. For links to Icon, the Lifesaver bottle, and several other water-centric initiatives, please go to KGORadio.com and look for the article that goes with this week's show. To close out the week, we wanted to touch on a recurring theme here, closing the gender gap when it comes to wages. Here's my chat with Stacey Epstein. She's the CEO of Zinc, Z-I-N-C, which is a consulting firm focused on communication as a solution in the workplace for any aspect of business. Stacey is a big proponent of women negotiating their salary at the time of hiring.
Stacey Epstein, CEO of Zinc.
Let's talk about equal pay day, Stacey, because we cover that a lot on my weekend show. It's important. It's a zeitgeist moment for it. But creating pay equity is not going to be easy.
Well, I think as a woman, we can either sit around and wait for the system and the infrastructure to change. And that is certainly one option. But I think we should be empowered to try to make the change for ourselves. And part of that is learning how to negotiate. I know as a CEO and a hiring manager for many years, it's amazing to me that I'm going to say 95% of the time I make an offer to a man, he wants to negotiate on his salary. I would guess it's probably about 10% of the time that women negotiate. And I'm not super comfortable negotiating myself, but I've learned how to be really skilled at it. And that is one way we can take this into our own hands and learn how to negotiate and learn how to ask for that higher price.
In the back of my mind when I'm negotiating, I always think nobody is the CEO of RJ Middleton Incorporated other than me, you know?
Yes.
And you have a great piece of advice, and I think that's a great starting point for people who may not be comfortable negotiating, and that is be firm about your floor. Can you tease that out?
Well, two things. One, understanding what their range is. I mean, every company has a budget. If you're willing to take less, that means they have more money to spend on something else. So you got to understand the game and understand what's the range they have for the position. If you come in low, they're going to take it, right? So understanding their range, number one. Number two, understanding your own floor. If you're willing to take, you know, a certain number and you're not going to go below that number, you got to fight for that number. And part of it's understanding the game. Part of it is understanding what's your own range. And, you know, as you said, in your own company is yourself. So what are you willing to take? But I also think, you know, sometimes that's where we get into trouble, because if my floor is, let's say, 75K and I get an offer at 75K, that doesn't mean I should just take it. Mm-hmm. I should still go ask for more, because I promise you the man that's interviewing for the job is.
One last thing before I have to let you go, practice ahead of time. Another piece of really good practical advice that people may not even really think about. I mean, you can get yourself hyped up before an interview talking to yourself in the mirror, right? Like, you can do this, you can do this. But if you practice your negotiation, you might come out with a better outcome.
Yeah, I think you can go in and say, okay, this time I'm going to do it. But then in the moment, it didn't seem appropriate and you wanted to be too nice. And so you didn't do it. If you literally use the words, talk about your experiences, what you think you're worth, what you want to make. I mean, literally find a friend or a peer or a mentor and sit down and role play. Have them be a tough negotiator and you negotiate back. The more you practice, it's like anything. It's like sports. It's like anything. The more you practice it and becomes part of your rote memory, it becomes a skill. And then it comes out much more easily and you won't be kicking yourself later that you didn't bring it up.
Yeah, let's talk again, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Stacey. That was Stacey Epstein. She's the CEO of Zinc, which is a consulting firm. Stacey writes extensively on this topic, and it's all good. Search Stacey with an E, Epstein, or Zinc with a C on LinkedIn to see her essays and research. Or you can check out the sourcing notes for this week's show. It lives at kgoradio.com/techonomics. And that's it for this week's Water World themed show. We hope you liked the stories we told as much as we liked doing them. And for this and all of our podcasts and segments, just search Techonomics wherever you graze for podcasts, including iTunes. You could even hit that subscribe button if you like. We are online at kgoradio.com/Techonomics, at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio, at least for now. That's where we post the music we choose, too. And I'm on Twitter. I'm at KGO Jason. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I'm the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. Thanks again for listening, and have great weeks, everybody.